wonderful Thursday. I pray that you are doing very, very well. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God. I spend a half hour here with you Monday through Friday on the Refresh Radio program on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And 10:30 of the morning, it is also broadcast at WWBC 1510 AM, then rebroadcast back here on WMIE at 5 p.m. that day. So we want to welcome you today. Pray that God is doing great things in your life. I pray that you are getting ready to advance in your relationship with God. May the blessings of God be upon you. And I pray that you are already making preparation to be in the house of God on Sunday morning. This is Pentecost Sunday coming up this week, and we are very, very excited about what God is doing. So we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 24 today. We're going to begin to talk about that God wants to deliver us from poverty. I am a person that believes that there is not an economic crisis in heaven. There's not a resource problem in heaven. There is not a supply chain problem in heaven. I also believe that the financial blessing is not just so that we can drive fancier cars or live in bigger houses or wear fancier clothes. I believe that the blessing that God brings into our lives is so that we can partner with God to an even greater extent in taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. So let's look at Proverbs 11, verse number 24. It says, "There is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner?" So here in verse number 24, we begin to see today that our actions have a direct impact on our own financial situation. There are a lot of people that want to look at others and blame them for their hardships and their difficulties and all of this. And I will tell you that most of my financial challenges have been in my life have been self-inflicted, where I've violated the word of God. We are talking here in Bible times about an agrarian society, an agricultural society, and that there, in case you've never been in a region where farming was a way of life, I will tell you this, it is hard, hard work. My grandfather had a cousin who was a dairy farmer, and those cows were milked every morning and every evening. There were no vacations. There were no days off. I remember just the fascinating thing of when it came time for the cows to be milked, they were very excited about the milking process. So they would all gather around, and he knew the names of all of these cows, and the cows knew the names. And so he would call this cow by name, and all of the other cows would part like the Red Sea, and this cow would come forth and be connected to the pumping device. And that only happens when there is a tremendous relationship. But it was hard work. And I know that my dad has raised chickens, and it was the same thing there. You're constantly on watch and things like that. Very, very difficult, hard way of life. And so a lot of people who grew up in farms end up wanting to go do something else because farming is so difficult. But I will tell you that without farmers, we all starve to death. And you don't ever want to get to a place where you are completely and totally dependent upon someone else for your food supply. So if a disaster hits a major metropolitan area, it's devastating because it is so hard to grow corn in a parking lot. It's just really difficult. It's hard to get that seed down through the asphalt or the concrete. I'm just giving you a silly picture there. It has to do with the mindset. There is one who scatters or sows liberally and yet increases more because he understands the law of seed time and harvest. And I will tell you that just about everything that we do in life is we're either sowing seed or we're harvesting the seeds that we've already sown. If you sow discord, you're going to have a harvest of discord. If you are sowing forgiveness and mercy, you're going to find that you are going to receive forgiveness and mercy. In fact, God says that unless we forgive, we will not be forgiven. God expects the forgiven of the Lord to be practitioners of forgiveness, because the offense that others have done against us is far less than the offense that we have committed against God. So there was a person, and I actually printed this out at one point in time. I've got it in my files, but there was a gentleman who wanted to prove the principles of tithing in an agrarian setting. And so he went out and bought, I believe, a dollar's worth of seed. Just a dollar's worth of seed. And he went and he sowed it. And when the harvest came up, he took that and he tithed off of the increase. And he took the rest of it and he used that as seed for the next year, so he didn't have to go out and buy more seed. And the next year, his harvest was even greater. And within just a few periods of a few sowing and reaping cycles, Henry Ford was in on the project as well. And there was so much seed that was coming in that he had to start donating seed to churches and saying, okay, would you just plant and make sure that you tithe off of this and use the rest of it? And it was such an overwhelming response, because you never sow one seed believing that you're going to get one grain in harvest return. There are a lot of people who have fear as the guiding principle of their life, and so they never let go of the potential that God could bring into their life. So I've never been afraid. Now, I will tell you, there's one area that I have not found any success in. I have not found any success in the stock market whatsoever, unless you deem success me making other people rich. That's what I've done. But I tell you what I have found to be exceptionally rewarding in my life, and that is whenever I'm sowing seed into the kingdom of God, it always reaps a return. I had a pastor one time that I heard say that sowing into the word of God is the only thing that you have a biblical guarantee of a solid return, because it says he sends forth his word and it will not return unto him void. It will strike its mark and it will come back bearing fruit. And it may seem very sacrificial to sow, but I can tell you that the Bible talks about that if you go forth sowing in tears, you are going to come back bringing sheaves, rejoicing. There's going to be a great, great harvest. There was always a celebration whenever there was a harvest that was going on. So if you are one who sows, you are going to increase even more. You need to make sure that if you are going to partner with people in your life, that they are operating at the same level of faith that you are operating in. That, okay, we're going to see a return. Because I saw a video of a person, and the reason that I remember this video is because I did this. I went with my dad on a business trip one year, and when we got to the hotel, they had a high diving board. They had the diving platforms, and I think it was like 14 feet up in the air or something like that. It was very high up there, and I was going to go up and dive off of that, and I got there, and it's like, no, I'm not going to do that either. And I climbed back down the stairs. And this person started running to dive, and all of a sudden, at the last minute, they bailed out. They grabbed hold of the pole, the bearing there, but they were going too fast. They fell, hit the low diving platform, and then fell into the water. I just hoped that they were okay. That can be, you know, very catastrophic. But there are a lot of people in life that says, we're going to do this. We believe that God has spoken. We're going to do this. And then all of a sudden at the last minute, they cancel and scrub all of the plans. And at that point in time, you have expense without harvest, and that's not good. The other option is there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. So this is a person who doesn't sow enough seed to get them through the season. The person who sows generously, who sows liberally, who prepares the field, who gets rid of the weeds and the rocks and puts a protection up so that his harvest is not devoured, realizes that during the sowing season, you are sowing seed that is going to be enough to get you through all the way through the harvest season, and you're going to be able to feed your family. You're going to be able to provide an income. And, you know, there's contingencies, you know, when you sow in, you're banking on that there's going to be sufficient rainfall, that everything is going to come to pass. The person here that is contrasted is a person who says, I can't afford to sow this because I need to eat right now. Not realizing that if you eat your seed today, you will starve tomorrow. And so there are people who operate in wisdom and generosity, and there are people who are tight-fisted and don't understand the principle of giving. I will tell you that there are public officials who want you to believe that they are extremely generous, that they're extremely compassionate, and they want to help other people out. Well, if you ever look at their personal giving, you will find that they are not very generous at all. The percentage that people give away is extremely minuscule. You know who I trust? I trust Christians. Christians who know how to give because they do so not because they're mandated by law to do so, but they give because they love God and they love people. So through the years, the listeners of this program have blessed the people of Ukraine. I don't know anybody from Ukraine. I know people who go there. I know people who've ministered there. But when I heard that there was a need there, there's something that we could do. And so you all actually filled up a container with goods to help people survive a winter while there was a tremendous conflict going on there. And so I want to thank you for that. Verse number 25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself, or he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And so I'm thankful that God refreshes me and gives me words to speak so that I can come and deliver those words to you. The truth of the matter is that God takes who we are and what we do, and he amplifies that. He causes an exponential return of increase. And so if we are generous, it doesn't necessarily mean that the richness that we're going to experience is going to be in the financial area. Now, I do believe that if you sow an apple seed, that you are going to reap an apple. But God's kingdom, if you sow blessing into a person's life, if you sow refreshing into another person's life, then you are going to be enriched. You are going to find that your needs are going to be met. And so I have found that to be a law, the law of seed time and harvest, that has been very beneficial to me. I don't really know how many vehicles I've given away. I don't. I know I blessed a senior citizen who was into scrapping. I know I blessed him with two or three cars. I know I've blessed a number of people with other cars. And here's what I've had. I've had people who gave me cars. And that the cars that they gave me were nicer than the cars that I gave away. But here's the thing. They didn't give me those cars most of the time until I had already given my car away. Sometimes we had already picked out the person and we had identified that we were going to give it to them. And so the giving was in process when all of a sudden somebody blessed us with a vehicle. And I want to encourage you, you know, sometimes you might really need the money, so you sell something. But sometimes what you really might need more than the money is the blessing of God. The blessing of God. So the generous soul will be made rich. Verse number 26. I've got this highlighted here because I believe that this is very pertinent to where we are as a society right now. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. If I were going to write this in a 2020 context, I would put it this way. The people will curse him who hoards toilet paper, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it, who provides it. And I'm not trying to rewrite the Word of God. I'm just trying to get you to see that hoarding is not the pathway to blessing. People who hoard things end up positioning themselves in times of devastation to be victimized by people who know that they have the power to change the situation and they're not utilizing it. You and I are called by God to be agents of blessing. We are called to be agents of transformation. We're supposed to be changing the environment that people dwell in. And so I didn't go out and buy cases and cases of toilet paper. In fact, there was a time where I didn't even see toilet paper on any shelves for about 2 months. And it happened to be in Walmart one night, and there was one 4-pack there. And I said, I think I'll grab that because I don't know what our toilet paper situation is like. And you know, sometimes the accidents of life are actually the blessing of God. Right before everything happened with the stay-at-home orders and all of that sort of stuff, my wife was ordering our paper products. She orders it online. She found a brand that she likes, and she ordered. And right before all of this happened, you know, we give generously, and we operate on a pretty close financial margin. And she came in one night, and she said, "I can't believe I did this." And I said, "What did you do?" And she said, "Now, mind you, this is before everything broke out." And she said, "I double ordered the toilet paper." And so we were never concerned about the toilet paper, and it wasn't massive amounts of toilet paper. They're small cases and things like that. But we were actually accidentally prepared for a very difficult season. And I had no problem giving toilet paper away and all that sort of stuff. Anything that I have is, it belongs to God anyway. It's just passing through my hands to be a blessing to somebody. And so we have blessed people during this difficult season. If we were able to help them, we would. We can, we have, and we will. And I tell you, I would more experience the blessing of the Lord than have people cursing me because I have become a clog in the conduit of God's economy. I don't want to block the flow. I want God to increase my capacity so that we can be a blessing to even more people. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. So you and I, we can never get to the place where we are resting completely and totally on our financial statement. That's money cometh and money goeth. It comes and it goes, and a lot of times it goes quicker than it comes. You know, it's the reverse of gaining weight. Weight comes very quickly, it comes very easily, and it takes a great deal of effort to get it to go away. And so you and I, we are never supposed to trust in riches. Instead, Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So we can never allow our finances, our bank account balance, our 401k, if you've got one of those, or any of that stuff, to become the source that we trust in. If you look at your 401k statements, you will probably notice that in the first quarter, they might have dropped drastically. In the second quarter, they might have, the stock market is very volatile because it's based a lot of it on people's expectations on, you know, sometimes it has to do with the numbers, but a lot of times it has to do with their expectations. And so if there's a news story that breaks out, the price of gas can go up or it can go down dramatically, because it has to do with expectation. The righteous aren't trusting in riches, but they're trusting in the Lord, and the Bible says that you and I will flourish like foliage. I don't know of anybody who was talking about 2020 who was looking at 2020 and saying it is going to be an economic upheaval like we've never seen because of a viral pandemic that impacts the world. Don't know anybody that was saying that. I do know that David Wilkerson back in the 1980s prophesied what we're experiencing. and people ridiculed him and mocked him and all that sort of stuff. But, and he's been gone to heaven for a while now, but I'll tell you, everything he described is pretty much what we are seeing right now. But God promises that he will do a new thing, that he will cause you to bloom and be fruitful even in a desert, even in a dry and difficult place, an arid place where you don't have all of the luxuries that you are accustomed to. If you are strategically planted by God, he has planted you there to do one thing, and that is to flourish, to be fruitful, to increase, to multiply, to change the environment, to change the atmosphere. I want to thank God today that that he, in all of his wisdom, has chosen you and I to live for such a time as this, not to instill fear, but to instill faith, to live faith, to proclaim faith, because we know that Jesus is coming again. We know that Jesus is on the throne. I tell my congregation, don't panic until you see Jesus panic. If you see Jesus panic, it's time to panic. But I can assure you this, he's never, ever going to panic. He's got everything under control. So I pray that you and I, we will be delivered from poverty, and we will be delivered unto the blessing of the Lord. I pray today that you will find that you can trust God in the good times and in the difficult times, and that right now he is enabling you to thrive and to increase, because he is good and his mercy endures forever. God bless you. You have a great day. We are going to see you tomorrow right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
There is a river that washes you clean. There is a tree that marks the places you've been. Blood that was spilled, although not your own, for all of your tears are the wages for things you've done. And all of those nights spent alone in the darkness of your mind. Give it up, let go. These are things you were never meant to shoulder.